Boston researchers release a new study this week that points out a possible link between two seemingly unconnected diseases, diabetes and tuberculosis. As WBUR's health and science reporter Alan Cockle explains, the road to discovery began in Cambodia.
Dr. Anne Goldfeld has been doing public health work in Cambodia for more than two decades, but she still recalls her first visit to the villages of Svai Ring Province in the southwest of the country. She remembers the chickens and pigs, the children playing, the bamboo houses with neatly swept dirt floors. Peaceful places, and beautiful, except for one thing.
It was like entering a Russian novel of the 19th century in certain of these villages. So many people had tuberculosis.
Cambodia had the world's highest incidence of the often deadly bacterial infection.
And of course, there are many socioeconomic reasons for it, the poverty, the complete breakdown of the medical system through all the years of war.
Working with local people, Goldfeld established the Cambodian Health Committee. The group came up with innovative ways to combat TB. They paid patients in food to come to the medical center. They made spot inspections to ensure people were still taking their pills. And they went door to door looking for new cases. And over two decades, they managed to get cure rates of 90%. Remarkable in any setting, let alone one of the poorest places on Earth. But one question still nagged.
Why is it that two people of the same age, let's say two 35-year-old women, why does she have tuberculosis or I have tuberculosis and the other one doesn't? Is there something different about, let's say, me if I'm the one who has tuberculosis? So we started looking.
Along with her public health work, Anne Goldfeld has another life as a molecular biologist at Harvard's CBR Institute. When she realized she could combine the two disciplines, she began collecting blood samples from the villagers in Cambodia. These samples she brought home to her lab in Boston to researcher Julio Delgado.
So here are like all the DNA samples, each one of them labeled.
So each one of these plastic tubes is one person from Cambodia?
One person's DNA.
Delgado and Goldfeld showed that one particular set of genes was highly associated with developing tuberculosis. What's more, in a study published this week in the Journal of Immunology, they've shown that cells with those genes are much more likely to be attacked by TB.
When I saw that, I double-checked everything because I thought, well, this is something interesting, this is something big.
But here's where the story starts to get strange. There are two versions of this gene, and Goldfeld calls them flavors, like vanilla or chocolate. Having two copies of one flavor makes you more likely to get tuberculosis. But having two copies of the other version of the gene, the other flavor, puts you at risk for something completely different.
So what is really interesting, when we figured out that the vanilla of this is supposed, so to speak, is associated with TB, we then looked at what's chocolate. And chocolate is the best known human association with another disease, autoimmune diabetes, or insulin-dependent diabetes, which before the discovery of insulin in the 1920s was universally fatal.
So here's an evolutionary mystery. If a disease is always fatal, why doesn't evolution get rid of it? Survival of the fittest should mean that, over time, families with the diabetes gene would be more likely to die out. But Goldfeld says, what if, in this case, there's also a survival advantage to carrying that gene? Because people who carry it are less likely to get sick with TB. And it turns out that across the world, the diabetes gene occurs most often in Northern Europeans, also the people whose ancestors have had the longest exposure to TB. As strange as this connection seems, other similar trade-offs are well accepted by scientists. The gene for sickle cell anemia, for example, provides some protection against malaria. Both diseases are common in Africa. And at Harvard Medical School, microbiologist Gerald Peer has shown that the cystic fibrosis gene offers a defense against typhoid fever. Dr. Peer finds Anne Goldfeld's new study fairly convincing, but he cautions that this particular gene is just one of many that contribute to diabetes.
It's certainly plausible, and they provide some very nice scientific data, but I think it's very important to emphasize that many people have those genetic mutations and will never develop diabetes. So obviously other things have to go along with having that mutation.
Anne Goldfeld agrees. Since she first started working in Cambodia, AIDS has arrived to exacerbate the problems caused by TB. Her hope now is that her discovery may eventually help her Cambodian patients.
From this lemon that Cambodia was handed of this terrible HIV-TB epidemic, we're going to hopefully discover, I'm sure we will, discover some signatures in the immune response that are going to help us to develop better drugs and to have a deeper knowledge of the best way to fight these diseases.
Globally, tuberculosis kills more than 1.5 million people every year. Too many, Dr. Goldfeld says, for a curable disease. For WBUR, I'm Alan Cockle.
To see photos showing the impact of tuberculosis in Cambodia, go to our website, wbur.org.